You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network. Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor.
Everybody's happy.
Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Monday, the 13th day of September 2010. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Separation from God usually comes in two phases. First phase is we just start to stray a little bit. Little by little, we forsake fellowship with other believers. Pretty soon we're not meditating on the Word, and we end up spending less time in prayer. Good things take us from the more important. Urgent begins to replace the best. How subtle the path is that takes us away from God. We end up farther and farther and farther away from home. The very living water that once fed our soul is now down the road. And because it's down the road, we decide we have to have a new home with new living water. Jeremiah says that not only do we forsake the spring of living water, we actually go out, dig our own cisterns, broken cisterns, he says, that can't hold any water. They look great on the outside, but, well, they're just empty on the inside. So the question is, where are you today? Are you straying from God? Have you stepped off the path? Or maybe you have a friend or family member, a co-worker, or neighbor, someone you've chosen to disciple, who you can see is stepping off the path. Have you or they actually moved away and found some other interest that takes greater priority in your life than God? If so, I encourage you. And if it's not you, I encourage you to encourage them to stop, go no farther, turn back, come to your Heavenly Father, ask Him to cleanse your heart, put a new thirst in your soul, and lead you back to the original spring of living water. Father, we thank You for this day, and we ask God that You forgive us any time that we would stray from You. I know that many of us throughout our walk with You have forsaken Your living water and actually attempted to quench our own thirst. Well, I know, God, that despite any broken cistern in my life, I'm still thirsty for You. I know that only You can satisfy. And I ask, Lord, that You would fill my cup today with Your life giving presence. Father, we continue to pray for our military. We ask, God, that You comfort them, be with them, protect protect them, guide them. And yes, Lord, we ask that you bring them home, safe and victorious. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, and welcome to this fine late-starting edition of Prosperity for God's People. A little technical difficulty on this end, which our friend Michael Bork is no stranger to. He had his own version of it. I think it was Friday, and here we are today, but all is well. And we'll get this thing rolling. Let's get to it. Daily numbers, Dow up 78, S&P up 12.5, and the comp is up about 38, a little over 38. And we put up a post last night, did we not? Let us refresh our memories here. Hang on, I'm going to go find it. Here it is. Take note on the chart below that the uptrend, which began last Wednesday, is now serving as resistance, a break and hold above this trend line. And more importantly, our highest weekly trading zone will present an opportunity to position yourself for a multi-week swing trade short. Be patient and wait for confirmation, as this could be an epic move. I get so dramatical sometimes. But this is quite an interesting line. Okay. This is from the low Wednesday, across the low Thursday. This support. It became resistance here, yet the market continued to trade higher until it ran into it again last night on the overnight, peaked above it, came back, found support where? Right at the weekly trading zone 11-12 and the 21 period EMA. So you have a fixed area and a dynamic area coming together right up to this same old line. Look at that wick, right back down. Didn't quite get to the zone, so there's a bullish tone in the market. Back up. Look at that wick. And a reversal. Reversal here, reversal here. Anytime you see that wick poke up over a trend line, dynamic support or resistance, if it's going to poke over it, it's going to be dynamic resistance. Or fixed resistance, which is a weekly trading zone for us, that's important. Here, maybe you can actually see it that way. Here and here. Trade here. Closed at 11:15:50, and we traded back to 11:12:50. So that's about a 3-point move back down, and then more than 3 points back up. And now we're finding resistance at the same area. Are we going to manage to creep all the way into the 21-22 today? Well, the Dow's up 73, S&P's up almost 12, the comp is up almost 37. Let's go look at the daily. Michael, are you with us today? I don't think he is. Today was first day of school for Jake, and I believe he typed me in a message that he had to go pick up Jake. All right, Bert, so you feel free to pop on in at any time. Because I don't think Michael's going to... Michael may be in a little later after he goes and picks Jake up from school. Bert, Leslie, any of you guys, at your leisure, pop on in. Okay, we finally got over the pesky 1109 area, which we were dealing with there for a number of days. not for any real significant reason other than the fact that the market couldn't seem to get over it. Well, it got over it. And it broke the top of this channel. And we had last week Garrett Jackson. We have a famous auto auction here in Scottsdale every year called the Barrett Jackson, but it's Garrett Jones that I'm referring to, not the auto auction. And Garrett had a very similar chart, although he was using the S&P cash, and he had this very similar trend line. And if we adjust ours properly to look more like his, same angle, just somehow the scaling got off. And he said he needed 2 days. We can go look at an S&P cash chart later, but it's going to be pretty similar here. He said 2 days for him, two closes above the top of this trend line would be significant to him. That it's a real breakout if you can get two closes on the daily chart above that trend line. And well, we're working on one today. Okay. Thanks, Jerry. Michael should be back after 11:30. I'm assuming that's Eastern time, so that's about now. So we'll look for him to pop in shortly. Okay. Let's go look at the 10K chart. So we know on the daily chart we potentially have a breakout. And as I wrote on the blog last night, by the way, anyone who's locked out in Radio Land, I saw a couple of emails come in. I sent those out. Mike Reed, Jim. If I missed anybody else, I'll check my email again in a moment. Let me know. Or if you go to the chat room, and thanks, guys, in the chat room. They brought this up last week. Any stragglers, you didn't get your email, whatever. As long as you're registered, signed up, that's what's important. Go into the chat room, which is different from what you're hearing now. On the website, those little tabs at the top, it'll be more evident in the future when the new website's rolled out. It says, I think, chat room, right? Is that what it says? Yep, right there, chat room. And you click that, go in there, and the guys will hook you up with the link and the password, which is good for the week. But if you're having problems not receiving your email, then you need to email me, and we need to really nail down why that is, because the majority of folks do get them. In fact, yeah. But it could be your email provider. It could be blocking it for some reason. I don't know why. Try making CT@CFRN.net and a contact in your address book, and then your email provider may have some additional whitelisting method to ensure that you receive emails that are sent to you. And it says, the heading on the email when you get it, I think, says CFRN Live Charts. So that's kind of a tip-off that that's going to be your link and your password. So anyway, anybody that is having issues, email me later after the show, and I'll try to walk you through it and help you out. Okay, Bert, was that you I heard in the background, or was that Mike Reed?
Leslie.
Okay,
you hear Bert's voice.
How are you? How are you today, Leslie?
Good, good, good. Just kind of watching things come about pretty much like I had thought that they would run the market, these stock indices up higher this month and to possibly 1143, 1163, maybe even 1188 before potentially the market may tip, and I was looking more of a, you know, for more of a reversal, but anywhere between September 15th and November 15th. I think it's still a little too soon, so maybe it won't quite pop up this month, but those are the time frames that, you know, I wish I could narrow it down more, but it doesn't seem that I'm able to with the way the market's roaring away, you know. But basically the recovery in Europe, we're looking to so many reports this week for the Eurozone, France, Canada, Germany, all their big reports are out, and so basically we're looking, tomorrow is a bigger day than today for the offshore report coming in. Tomorrow we have the Eurozone Labor Cost Index, the German ZEW indicator of the economy, our business inventories, the Canadian industrial capacity, Canada new motor vehicles, retail sales. You know, it's quite a packed day tomorrow, so I'm kind of looking to see how the market handles all of that. And so far, I think we have some pretty solid information to, you know, I'm looking more at the gold myself, of course, you know, but...
Now, gold sold off a little bit overnight, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was looking for. In other words, I think that we're probably going to stay in this range, 1250 down to about 1226. And then the factors that are going to be kind of important to us, I think, in the case of the gold would be that the European central banks may, you know, as things start to improve for them, they you know, at these prices, they may say, well, let's sell some gold to possibly make some money to, you know, take care of some of the freeing up some money for other things. And again, the IMF last week has sold the 10 million tons of, or 10 tons of gold. I forget the exact, I think it was 10 metric tons of gold. So therefore, they're also freeing up more money for Greece, as they are still involved with the aid in Greece. And then this week also, last week they had reported that Italy, is a strong marketplace for gold, and the disposable income may not, you know, allow for such purchases. And so they anticipated last week that that all of this might be rather negative for gold. This week, however, they were coming up with some, the Italian government didn't want that kind of an image, because they're saying that they possibly will be increasing their gold purchases coming into today. So that was quite a bit of interesting, you know, to see that. But
the IMF sold some of their gold,
right,
to raise cash,
because exactly.
Because unlike America, they can't just print money.
Exactly. So they had sold to the Bangladesh bank, I believe, and I think there'll be some purchases coming along. Typically, the month of September is one to worry about a little bit. If we're going to have a retracement in the gold, the month of September may come about, for a drop. The worry is that the European Central Bank may. Because in the past, they've taken the month of September to say that they're going to sell off some of their gold in September. It seems to be a good month where the market's kind of high. And anyway, this can impact the market so that it comes down quite a bit. So now, on the other hand, though, the stock market, should we have a tip in the stock market where it goes into a reversal, I think the gold may come on up as inverse to that, assets may allocate there. But on the other hand, when we have a problem with the stock market, oftentimes people will liquidate their gold holdings to suffice for their margins. So that's very difficult to predict how the speculators will react to the gold market at that time. But we had a report showing that the managed accounts longs were increasing in the gold. They were like 211,000 up from the previous week. And then there's this Swiss private bullion, I think it's called Touche, and it's a fund in Switzerland, and they've grown by 5 times just since last year, and they are reporting that they are going to have even further sales, and whereby their holdings will increase. And so there are factors both ways, and so it's going to be quite interesting to see how things will go. Of course, I think that we're going to have a little drop in the stock market. I think things will rally in the metals But I think initially the stock market will rally near term, and then the gold will pull back somewhat.
What do you think the potential top on the S&P could be for this rally?
Just today, or for today? I think it's that was pretty much. I don't see too much past the high of today. Are you looking at December or September still?
No, we're looking at December. And
okay, good.
This trend line that this price channel that Bert and I have been watching for a period of time now, and which Garrett brought up when he popped onto the show last week, he was using the S&P cash. Bert and I have been just using the mini. And if we close today up where we any place above top of this channel, Garrett considers that to be confirmation of a breakout and looks for a further up move. We've broken the top, but if we move higher, then I guess we move higher. But the highest weekly zone we've got is 1121, 1122. And this entire year, there's only been three occasions that we broke the top or bottom weekly zone and held it. So if we get above 2122, I'll trade it. If we don't get above it, I won't be surprised. So we're at 1115 and a half right now, so certainly a possibility. I mean, we got a whole week ahead of us. It's only Monday morning.
Yeah, I think we're going much higher in the stock market. Well, 43 at least. In my mind's eye, we do have, for today's trading though. I see that little double top on the 5-minute bar at 11:19, and right now I think that the market's coming back to about 11:13 and probably through there. How far? I don't know. It seems to want to turn up every few bars, so therefore, I think it could go, let's say, about 110, 11, or 1110 rather, and 1108. But I think it's going to want to correct and maybe even finish higher. I would think that we'd be in the 1122 zone myself by the end of the day.
Now there's dynamic support down at the 1111 area on a 5-minute chart. That's where the 60-period EMA is, and also we've got a weekly zone which held on the overnight at 1111/1112. So below that, it's sort of a pinched up area. We've got right below 1111/1112, we've got 1108/1109.
Again, it just seems so strong to me, in terms of momentum, it doesn't seem to have a great deal of selling momentum. So I'm hesitant to think of this in terms of taking a short. I'm hesitant until I see the market head to higher territory and where it has that tipping, and then I'll be looking for a potential short, but nowhere in here. I'd more or less like to ride the trend as long as possible.
Now, historically, isn't September the most brutal month for the stock market?
Yes, in terms of volatility, in terms of movement. But then when you think back to 87 and 89, we were talking October and November. And in May of 87, that was where I got my tip from a meat trader that we were going to have a real reversal in the S&P 500, and that was in May of that year. And then he said it was happening in September. So then I started looking at it, and I said, it could be September. And then it did take place in October. So oftentimes I'm, a little bit off in that regard, because this period of time between September and November 30th, I feel is most vulnerable time for the stock indices. Every year I look for a potential short. I guess if you have it one way, you look for the seasonality constantly when you experience it a few times, you know. So every year I look for specific factors, and this year I think even more than most, I'm looking for that reversal because of the way the market's been heading up. And I think that a lot of things that we have been looking at, I'm not quite sure. I mean, we've looked at recovery here in the United States, and we've looked for foreign reports of potential recovery in some of the Eurozone, Germany, France, and Canada. And we look for those markets as well for stability nowadays. And I don't know how superficial these reports are in terms of, you know, really gauging the progress of our recovery. For example, Obama's, he had some stimulus packages in terms of roads and railroads. And, you know, when I read his report, I did get a response, by the way, but they're not answering my question yet. It's taking them a while. So they said, while we're answering your question. And then they write me all the time with other reports, of course. But you remember what David and I had spoke about as far as giving commentary to the government. Yes, we did. Well, I submitted both a written and a verbal report to them, you know, questioning why they're not doing specific things that we had noted. And as I said, they come back to me all the time with other reports saying that they're going to answer my little query. So in their reports, they're saying that they have all of these things that were presented by President Obama, but in truth, I haven't seen them. Unless, is it our media that is holding back, and these programs are in effect, and somehow we're not seeing it through our media, because oftentimes we pay so much attention to the media, we have a tendency to think that it's not real unless it's publicized by the media. And so is that the case, or is it the case whereby these were presented and wished upon but not executed as of yet? That's my question.
And you're still waiting for the response?
Yes. It takes a long time for them to actually answer something.
I can only imagine how many committees it has to go through. I'm surprised that they're willing to specifically answer your question and not just give you some boilerplate rhetoric, you know, that is supposed to satisfy the masses.
Yes, boilerplate rhetoric is what I've been getting, but they do add that line that in the meantime, while we're answering your question or your query. Is David there?
David Williams, are you on deck?
I am, Dwayne. I just got here.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
We were just talking about you.
Well.
And when I had made that request to the to President Obama, the White House, with our noted changes that we would like to effect.
Yes.
And I keep getting these responses while you're waiting for your response, you know.
Right.
but then they update me on other things with boilerplate letters.
Well,
go
ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's very, very nice of you to even have taken the time to make that call, you know, to even be on the phone with them.
Oh, I wrote and made the call.
Can you spell bureaucracy? That's all I have to say.
Well, we did come up with some nifty suggestions, and perhaps they're seeing whether they can take place or not. Perhaps they're paying attention to it and doing something about it right this moment.
That's a very nice thought.
Lofty ideas, huh?
It doesn't have to be a lofty idea. I think they're just going to do whatever they want to do. And but it is. That's very nice that you called up and tried to get through to them and give them some peace of your mind.
Well, you never know. If they have so many letters coming from so many people, think about all the small business owners. If everybody wrote in and really made requests to change things, perhaps they would make notation.
You know, I don't think that's the case. I really don't. I really don't. I think they're going to do whatever they plan on doing, and I think we've already seen where public opinion has been very, very strongly against something that he's doing, and he just does it anyway. You know?
This is true with some of the...
I can name three of them. You know, the health plan, which you had the majority of the population was against that, at least the way that his plan, the one that he never read, the one that most of the people in Congress never read. have you ever seen the bill? It's 2,500 pages long.
I have not read that.
Yeah. Oh, no, nobody's read it.
They could hide all kinds of things in that kind of a report.
You know, anytime any piece of legislation is longer than the Bible, you have to question, you know, what exactly is going on.
This is true.
I mean, the Bible includes the Old Testament, you know, the four Gospels, and the New Testament. And if a piece of legislation has to be longer and more complicated than that, then there's probably something wrong with the administration that ran and produced that piece of legislation.
I don't know whether they would be so elaborate and detail-oriented to write a report such as that, or whether they simply wanted to make it so that people would fall asleep before they got to the parts that they might disagree with.
Maybe. No, there's that, and then there's the whole silly mosque thing and all that stuff where he knows, and everybody knows, that the majority of New Yorkers don't want it there, and he just went right out straight, like a freight train, right in front of that opposition and just basically completely approved of it.
You know what's funny, David, is, and Dwayne, had someone emailed me a picture of around a zone in New York that they were, that they had a group of Muslims, and it looked like they were outside their temple, I believe, or mosque, mm-hmm. somewhere in New York, and it was all covering the streets, people that were praying to Islam, to their religion, and it was quite a big spectacle, and the thing of it is, we no longer can pray in our
schools.
We can no longer exhibit our. We have to be so sensitive, and yet they can make the public display with no.
With impunity, they can do it on an airplane as well. That's what I said to you last time, though, Leslie.
Yeah.
This is what I was telling you. He's giving it all away. They're giving it all away. They're telling us what we can't do, and they're giving all of our rights to other people, and under the name of political, you know, correctness, and you know us. He's dumbing us down. I'm sorry, but he's not a fan of America. He doesn't really love what America stands for and what it is. He sees, you know, he's a social justice president, and he's doing that. We've talked about that, and there's more and more evidence of that every day.
But certainly, if that would not be a federal, it would be a local issue. In other words, can they make a public display without having a permission, permission slip from the
mm-hmm.
local government in order to make that display?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, for there to be a public gathering of a group of people for a specific cause, you usually have to have a government right to for that parade, or right to picket, or right to do something. In other words, you have to go and sign up for that.
Right, but not in this case.
Right, exactly, I guess.
When 70% of the people are against the mosque, he stands up and tells them that they have the constitutional right to do that, something that everybody already knew. When 70% of the people are against the Quran burning, which I'm against, anybody burning somebody's religious books, but that guy had equal constitutional right to do that as well. And he doesn't stand up for that guy's right to do that. He wasn't standing up saying, you know, whatever the pastor's name, the idiot that wants to burn the Quran. He wasn't defending his constitutional rights, even though I'm against what he was doing. But if you're just going to stand up and do purely constitutional study of what's going on, which is he was trying to do, which is what he was saying that he was doing, he didn't do that on behalf of that pastor, but he did it on behalf of the Muslims, because he made it quite clear that he was just making a constitutional observation, he says he wasn't really endorsing it, but he certainly wasn't giving that same constitutional endorsement, because the guy actually does constitutionally, just like we can burn the flag. We have the constitutional right to do that. He has the constitutional right to burn Bibles or Korans or whatever the guy wants to do. Not that I'm endorsing him doing that, but the president didn't get up and endorse his constitutional right to do that, like he jumped up very quickly hours after the mosque thing to tell them that they have their constitutional right, et cetera. See what I'm saying? He picks and chooses, and he's always right in there. Every little social thing that happens, he's right in there, all the way down to the policeman, you know, and all the things we've talked about. And so he doesn't have any problem with opposing, you know, with how, you know, you could have 80% of the people believing something. He's right in there defending the 20%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's just that's how he acts. That's why our phone calls are not going to make a lot of difference to this guy or his administration.
Yeah. Has either of you ever read the Quran or started to?
I have.
I've read parts of it. I've not read it in its entirety.
Yeah, I started to read it the other day, I got an English translation, because I don't read Arabic, and at first I said, am I reading the right book?
Right.
Because to me it was like, am I reading the Bible instead? And you know, mm-hmm. I was amazed at the similarity. And so I asked my brother, who had been a minister for the last 20-some years. I said, what is going on? Am I reading the right book? Is this? And he explained to me the differences. And it's amazing, amazing, amazing to me how that could be. Because there are so many people that, you know, the transcripts
Dwayne, are you having a fight with a small farm animal there?
That's not me, man. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know who that was.
That was me. Sorry.
Oh,
sorry. I'm losing control of my headset. All right.
That's live radio, folks.
Oh.
Right, go ahead, Leslie. Yeah.
I don't mean to be bringing all this.
Oh, no. This
somehow
is an interesting topic, and I think because I think a lot of people who've never taken the time to open a Quran, and I'm not saying you should go read the Quran, I'm just saying, but a lot of people think you open the front cover, and page one, line one, it says, kill the infidel, followed by kill the infidel, followed by more kill the infidel. And while, you know, it actually does say kill the infidel, but what you're saying, Leslie, is that, go ahead, you're telling your story, go ahead.
Well, there were angels. There was a garden, and my brother, the way he explained it, it's almost like someone took the transcripts let's say there were different people that took some original transcripts, because you know over the years how each of these transcripts would have to be translated down through the history, you know, and there were several people doing this. So it was my thought, goodness, what if you had somebody that was, it's like a game of telephone, you know, almost, you know, where you have a good person that would be kind and interpreting what the person said. You know, some people may say a swear word and I may say blessings. You know, or someone may say, you know, in other words, the interpretation, I said, how could this be? And then my brother went on to tell me how they had verified the Christian translations and the Christian, you know, that they were proven, you know, through a variety of ways. And so my thought, my silly little mind, you know, I thought, my goodness, there might have been a terribly angry person that had come up with this offshoot, you know. And I just thought, wouldn't it be funny if it was somehow transposed by someone who was not kind and had a real hatred for the world itself, practically, you know?
That part of the world has been at war for thousands of years before the birth of Christ. They'll be at war probably for thousands of years after myself and all the listeners are long gone. They're born and bred to hate and kill. And all the evidence points to that. Whether they get that from their Bible or from their Quran, whether they get that from social thing, wherever they get that from,
I think it's
they
Facebook.
Get it. It's Facebook?
Yeah. It's insidious.
Okay.
No, go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
No, that's just my point. That no matter what the Quran says, the Quran does have, I have also read it and have been through it on a number of occasions, and there are a great number of similarities. It almost appears at some point that it's not copying, but, you know, it's themed after the Bible, you know.
Well, it's got the same cast of characters. Abraham's in there.
Right, right.
And somebody's about to email me that one verse from
right.
the Quran about, I forget which part, and then it's like chapter 9, verse 11, where the eagles, you know, swoops down, and everybody mm-hmm. was emailing that around after 9/11 when it originally happened. And so I actually went and checked the Quran, and that's one of those things people email each other. It's not really in the Quran, so you don't need to send. You don't need to email it to me. It's
mm-hmm.
not part of the Quran. But it seemed really, it was like an, oh, wow. You know, I admit, when it first got emailed to me on September the 12th, man, I printed that baby mm-hmm. out. I'm running around the office, look at this, look at this. And then his little voice said, won't you go look at a copy of the Quran online and just verify it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, you know, speaking of that subject, and we don't have to go too far into it, but I keep hearing from people like the imam that wants to open the mosque and others, what a wonderful, peaceful, loving religion it is. But everywhere I look, whether the Quran itself is peaceful and loving isn't what I'm really questioning. It's their use. Sharia law is enormously brutal to women and to others. They run off of that out there. They have honor killings where they kill. Imagine killing your own children, you know, out of honor because they, you know, embarrassed you or whatever. They've been at war for 5,000 years. I mean, they keep telling us what a wonderful thing it is, but when you look at the facts of how they're playing that religion out, I'm not sure I want that anywhere near me. Just an observation.
Well, you know, I hate to sum things up so simply because rarely in life can you sum anything up really simply, but, and I know everyone's heard this before, not all Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists are Muslims. Period.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm. No, and we've had Muslims living here for a long time that are peaceful, just doing their, you know, daily living, et cetera, et cetera. No one's making the claim that that's the case, that you know, they're all bad or something. I don't think that's the case at all. But it's just a hotbed of bad things, you know, the whole business of it. And what I'm worried about is that they're going to come and infect us with all that hatred and get all kinds. Just this mosque alone has the potential to tear New York apart into pieces. And you know that if it does get built, somebody is going to be bombing it or doing something bad to it, and it's going to cause more grief and more, you know. And they're here, you know, I'm sorry, but this imam that wants it here, I don't think, you know, you should be here teaching us and preaching to us about religious tolerance. You know, thanks for the offer, but I think you should be doing your religious tolerance bit in Saudi Arabia. That's where you should be doing your religious tolerance. That's where you should be building a mosque where all kinds of different religions can get together and do that. Not here in America. We already have that. We already have been doing that for thousands of years while you guys have been at war, killing each other. So, you know, don't come here and preach to us about religious tolerance and tell us what we need to do to show you what religious tolerance is. We've already shown you what religious tolerance is by the day after 9/11 by not going out and having a bunch of people kill your people. And we didn't do that. And we didn't do it year after year after year after year after year. Now, 9 years after, you guys want to build a mosque that's offending the great portion of our Democratic population in New York. You should respect that instead of preaching to us about religious tolerance. Where's your religious tolerance? Mr. and Mrs. Muslim towards the people of New York, since this is a democracy? Why is it that we always have to be the ones to show the religious tolerance to the others? How come it's not a request? How come it's a demand? That's what this is. This isn't a request to build a mosque there. This is a demand. Demands don't sit well with people. And if those people are honestly saying they have an issue with it and their sensitivities are bothered by it, why are you not respecting that? Why are you preaching to us about what religious tolerance is when you come from a country that hasn't known a day of it in 5,000 years? Those would be some of the questions I'd like to ask them.
Good questions they are.
Don't get me started, Dwayne.
I think you woke up on the wrong side of your prayer mat today.
Yes, I did.
All right, so Leslie, stop reading the Quran. Go back to the Bible.
Yes. That was enough.
I'm just kidding. Hey, anything else? You talked about all the reports coming out tomorrow on Europe, Leslie. Anything in the U.S.?
Just Johnson Red Book sales. We have a four-week T-bill auction. There was news all over that, on the auction front, there was, let me see here, we're going to have... Treasury Department is going to bargain hunters. Chinese data. Treasury to sell $55 billion in bills.
Okay.
So, way to certainly raise money. Weekly chain store sales, business inventories, retail sales. Just that for the U.S.
Okay. All right, David, what are you seeing in the market today? What do you got going on your side of the street?
Let me just push away some of these old prayer mats here. Let me get them out of the way. Okay, what was that? No, just joking. What am I seeing in the market today? Well, we definitely have advanced powerfully here. In our support and resistance panel for today, and this is a number we've had for quite a few days. In fact, I mentioned it on your show last week that the first number for us on the upside, if they broke out, was, I know you had some trend line stuff at 1110 and 1111, but they've completed that, so there's that. But in our work, we had to get up to 1115, and then above that was 1120, and I noted that last week on the show. Today's session did get up to 11:15, and we made an attempt. We got up to 11:19. We attempted the 11:20 level, and they're reacting off that. So, if I'm not mistaken, tomorrow, and I do have to do a little bit of work, but I think tomorrow, September 14th, is the next important turning point date. So, if we do make a new high tomorrow, let's say we're pulling back now and making a pullback low here. Then into tomorrow we would be looking for a top here. And this has been a pretty powerful trend. If you take a look back at the August, 27th, 26th area, we've advanced pretty powerfully. We've gone through some important highs. We had forecast an August 30th weekly bottom, which came 1 week early. They basically double bottomed down there. And they gave us the full 72 points of movement on the upside, and then some. We're actually, I'm not sure if they actually have completed that or not. But even as we're speaking here, we're pulling back a little lower, making new recent lows here. Give me just a moment here. We had something. I was talking to Michael, the trader that we've spoken with here on the radio program, mm-hmm. And under normal conditions for today, today's third or fourth hour would mark a bottom. And so we're in the third hour now. The natural level is 1108 to 1107-ish in that time. That's not an outright forecast for those levels to be reached, but that's the natural target on the downside for the third and fourth hour for today. So if we get down there, then that would be important buying territory for a further or for a reversal at that point, somewhere near there. So we'll keep that in mind. And I think really right now just we're kind of waiting for the possibility of a buying for buying territory based on that third or fourth hour low that would be in the market. We're in the third hour now for people who might not, you know, follow the hourly chart, so to speak. But we have about 15 or 14 minutes left for that on the downside here. So that's really about everything that we have for today. When I was talking to Michael earlier and when we had messaged out this whole business about this pullback, it's not that we necessarily expect them to get all the way back down to 6 or 7, but if they did, and whatever they do in this next between this and the fourth hour, we're watching for an important period here where a bottom could be formed for buying territory. So people who are watching their charts, you might give them a little bit more time here on the downside and a little more price movement on the downside to maybe put together a trade on the long side a little bit later in today's fourth hour. Again, we have about 13 minutes left in today's third hour. So that's about everything we have right now. It's been a really good uptrend, and I'll have more a little bit later today, actually, maybe even on the show, because I know Michael just got on, and I'm sure he has stuff to go over as well. Michael Bork, are you still there, Michael?
I am. I had to leave for a minute.
He was wrestling with some farm animals earlier. We heard that wrestling match. Apparently you won, and that's good.
It's a good thing I shut my mic off. You would have heard my dog barking in the background.
Oh.
I had a little crisis. I'm working things out.
All right. Well, you go right ahead, and let's see what you've got going here today as well.
All right. Let's see. Let's just go over the actual trades that we've had. The A10, we've had four trades with three wins. A 233, we had one more loss. No, we've had, on the A10, we've had 6 trades with four wins, sorry. And on the 233, we've had 9 trades with 8 wins. So that's pretty good considering that we went up and then we chopped for a little bit. I see on the 10K at this point, we had a turnaround here. We had an uptrend. We came into an uptrend. It looks like we might be trying to fill the gap here. We have a huge gap to fill from Friday. And we may be trying to do that at this point. We have prior weekly levels down below us here at 11.12 and 11.11. Last week's levels.
It's actually this week's level.
Is it this week's levels?
Yep. Last week.
I put the ones up above on. I didn't put the ones down below on, but I think, were they in last week too?
Last week was 11.9, 11.10.
Oh, why are they still marked there? Yeah, maybe I put them in properly here this morning.
This week was 11.11, 11.12. And look at this trend line, Michael, that we drew, started on Wednesday, and we connected it to Thursday's low, and then the low Thursday afternoon. Then it became resistance, and we gapped right into it last night. We walked the line just like Johnny Cash.
I walked the line.
And I forgot my banjo. So now we're pulling back. I mean, we haven't had a close. We got this cross here. This bullish cross on Friday. What time did that transpire? Let's see. That transpired at right off the London Open. And this little whoop-de-doo action that we get before these major crosses, that's probably David's version of the market being tricky. But these moves have really been good. Now, I don't know that anybody wanted to hold long over Friday, over the weekend, but that gap last night sort of took me by surprise. I watched the open, and we really opened substantially higher. The Nikkei was up. When we opened here, the Nikkei was up like 1%.
Wow.
So
that's huge.
Yeah, and so we tagged it here, we tagged it here, and now we're coming back right here to the support area. So.
Yep, we're having a pullback here. We'll see if we put it in double bottom here or not.
On that code I had you help me with over the weekend, thank you for your help on that. We still got a couple bugs to work out, but short there and a short there.
Did they work out? I mean, when you took them, did they?
Well, I had to tweak some stuff, but I'll go over it with you later today.
Yeah,
but it caught this long and this long. And this is on a 3-minute chart, so it's a pretty decent size move. The entry here was 11.16, and we ran up to the high at 11.19. And then this short came in at 11.17.5, and it was confirmed again down here at 11.16, and we've traded 11.13. So, yeah.
Now, which one is that? I see the CT thing is on there.
Your
MA1 is on there.
That's just the, 21 EMA, CFMA1, and then it's that code that I had you help me straighten out.
Oh, okay.
And then it's got the DMT Pro down here.
Yep, and the DMT down there.
And it looks like as soon as the trend changed, or as soon as the bullish momentum began to wane here, we got signaled in here just before that went red. So anyway, I will continue to work with it. I just wanted to give you a peek at it so you know I wasn't just wasting your time, that I think there's some merit in there.
No, you wouldn't just send me things for nothing.
I
was going to send you back an explanation with everything that was wrong.
Oh, you did, I think.
Did I?
Well, you said this part confuses me.
Oh, okay.
Apparently you fixed it because I got it to verify.
Yeah, I fixed it and I sent it back to you. There were just some things that I didn't understand what was trying to be done.
Yeah, we got to look
but
at it again.
I got it together and it.
All right, we'll look at it again. All right, we just hit the 11.11, 11.12 zone. So this will be a key area. And this is going to be an interesting area for the whole week, because rarely do the weekly zones come out this close together. But we've got one at 11.08, 11.09, and then right above it, 11.11, 11.12. So, yeah, I know people are going, that's like a four-point wide zone, really. Yeah, I could have just took these two out of the middle. But it is what it is. I mean, that's how it laid out, and so that's where I'm putting it. Now, on the DMT down here, we didn't pierce from the bottom, but we got the red envelope right there. And then we really got a strong move going here.
Yeah, on the 8.10 tick, we had a pierce from the bottom.
Did you pierce from the bottom?
At 12.06 on the 8.10.
I put this line on the 10K just because when price started to come back up and test the 21 EMA here, we needed some kind of visual to know if price was going to retrace into here or if it was going to continue on its way up to the next zone. So I just connected these two highs right here with a simple trend line. And then as price came up, you know, a break of this trend line would have signaled that something different was going to happen. But it was not even tested again. We came right down, right into the pocket, and now we're going to go right and consolidate for some period of time while the market makes up its mind. We've already traded 20,000 contracts in this one-point area, so we'll just have to wait and see if the market's going to rally up out of here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we switched into a downtrend here. Now on the shorter term, anyway, we have a lot of gap to fill. We're about halfway there. So,
well, are you talking about gap from Friday?
From Friday.
Oh my goodness, yeah, that thing. We've still got 6 points to go.
Yep.
To fill that gap. All
right, so, yeah. Yes. That's about right, I'm thinking. I'm trying to find. Yeah, they are. So the next level down below here, you have 11.08, 11.09.
Yeah.
I don't have my daily numbers, that's there on the computer that is getting rebuilt right now.
So what happened to your computer on Friday? It just blew up?
It apparently something corrupted the operating system, and they managed to get it going well enough so that they could take everything off it. And they're going to reinstall the operating system and hopefully give it back to me today. That's what I'm hoping, anyway.
Hmm. So something corrupted it, as in a virus, a bug, or
I don't know. I think it was something that Microsoft installed a patch, and on the reboot, it never came all the way back up. You know how Microsoft jams patches onto your computer at night?
Well, I got a patch Thursday night too.
Yep. Mine didn't come back up.
Huh. Wow.
You know, and it's odd that that's the only one that got the patch of my, you know, of my computers. It must be the version of Vista that it's using, I think.
Yeah, and I'm running XP, but I got a patch Thursday night as well.
Hmm. Well, I have I've resurrected another machine, so now I have all these mice and all these computers going all at the same time to replace the work that one used to do. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to use a headset and everything else right now. And because I have to doing the two chat rooms at once is a little...
I have a connection that allows me to use one keyboard and one mouse to control two computers. And then, of course, each computer can control multiple monitors. I'm not using that setup, but I have the connector.
Yeah, I had something like that before, a while back. It was a PS2 setup, or PS1 setup, or something like that. But it was the analog, and it was convenient when I was using one screen per computer. Mm-hmm. But I use multiple per computer, and it couldn't handle that, unfortunately. Anyway, getting back to what's going on here, I was looking here. I was expecting another short possibility here, but it was disqualified by the 810. And over here on the 810, I'm looking for a pullback, but the 810 bounce line and the 10K basis line are about a point away from each other, so I don't really like anything there. It certainly slowed down here at the weekly level. Those weekly levels are just great, Dwayne. They are great. And it went right down to it and stopped. It's like it got stuck in quicksand or something. Let's see, what else do I have? That's pretty much it now. I mean, volume's pretty much switched over now. We have, so far we have, 1.1 million on this one. And we're 3 hours into the day here. So,
yep.
It's looking like the volume's pretty much over here now.
Yeah, you're right. The volume's pretty much over here, but the volume in general has not returned to the market.
No.
It appears that traders are sitting on the sidelines, curious and waiting. You know, we have a confirmed breakout on the daily chart here. Well, it depends on what you use to confirm with. Garrett was on the show, and last week he said he needed two daily closes above to confirm for him. And so today, you know, unless something drastic happens, he's going to get his second daily.
Assuming we're going to close above there. I have pretty much the same thing on my daily chart. And something would have to go really bad now. Let's see, if we fill the gap, yeah, it would have to go way down. It's got to be down below what? Below 90. Below
10, yeah, it could fill the gap and still stay above. So, you know, I'm not really a breakout guy. See this high right here, Michael?
Yes.
I don't know if you can see my chart.
Mm-hmm.
Just grab the arrow. There we go. You don't see these very often, but they almost always lead to something. So we'll work on that later this week, too, as you have time.
Okay. That sounds great.
And so if that does it for you, and that does it for David, and that does it for Leslie, and if I don't have anyone else that's coming on today, I've got some guests coming in from out of town, which I need to make some preparation for.
Okay.
And who else is out there? Is there anybody else left? Did I miss anybody? Mike Reed, are you coming on today? Send me a... Mike got the wrong link because he changed email addresses.
Bert, David, me, Leslie, and you.
Yeah, Mike can't get into the panelist room because... And I even spent some time with the GoTo support team on Friday, Thursday or Friday about this issue. The panelist links, each one's uniquely generated, and you can't just go in there and copy that or get that and resend it to a panelist. It has to be generated and sent from their end. And I said that's just kind of odd and cumbersome and weird and makes no sense. And he goes, "Yep, I agree." I go, "Well, can you fix it or change it?" He goes, "No." He goes, "I just work here. I don't run the place." I was like, "Okay."
Not qualified to make those kind of decisions.
So what will happen is all the panelists will get a new email. I said, "Okay, well, how about this? If one panelist doesn't have their link, can I just resend that panelist their link and give them the password?" He goes, "Wouldn't that be nice?" I said, "So seriously, you're telling me I got to resend all five in order for one guy to get his?" He goes, "Yep." I said, "You know, that's stupid and cumbersome and weird." And he goes, "I know. I already agreed with you on that." And I said, "Well, this is kind of a separate issue now." He goes, "I know." I said, "You can't fix that either." And he goes, "Nope." I said, "All right. Well, thanks for being polite, you know, and have a nice day." So no reason to yell at the guy because... He's obviously aware of the flaw, and he is not in a position to fix it. So,
well, one thing that you can do with Mike anyway is, if you see him out there.
Yeah, I told him to just come into the room, and I would make him a panelist. Yeah, because when he first emailed me, I sent him the. There he is, right there. He's on deck. Let's bring him live, Mike. We're going to bring you in live. Hang on. Let me find you.
Just unmute him.
In the room. There he is. Mike, you have an open mic.
Hello, Dwayne. Hi, guys.
How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Good. How you doing?
All right, so far.
It's a Monday. Technical difficulties.
I'm still on my backup computer.
Late.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What's going on with you?
I had a nice trade off of 17.5 just a little bit ago, and covered it partial at 12.5, and we're going to keep a stop in place on part of this in case we nail the high up there. Certainly slowed down.
It went right down.
That might be the high of the day,
level.
Mike.
Can you give a 1 minute chart?
Sure, buddy. Anyway, yes.
This is something I watch when the market gets moving in my direction for a guide. I just now poked over it, but either the NQ or the ES on a 1 minute chart, if you put up a 9 and 18, just put up an 18 period EMA. And when that turns in, when you get a momentum type of move, that'll oftentimes turn into a guide. So that was kind of what we were watching on the downside there, your red line.
Yeah. Well, here, let's do this.
Can kind of help you stay in the trade longer if you're looking for a guide for a short-term at least to a target or whatnot.
So 1 minute, you want Globex or just the day session?
You can put it on Globex, that's fine. And then just have a. I thought you had it a minute ago.
Well, what? That's a 21 and a 60.
Oh.
So
put an 18 EMA out of work. He's a 9 and an 18, but it's
simple or exponential?
EMA, exponential. It's good when there's a move that has some momentum behind it. Pretty good trend.
Okay, the 9, which is the fast one, we'll make that green. And the 18, we'll make that red. What did I do?
It's fairly close.
It's, you up there.
When you get the momentum going, I guess use that as a guide. I guess I can't grab your cursor, but.
All right, input 18.
The 18 is a little better guide.
Color red. Okay, there we go. Gee, that really was a Monday kind of thing there, man. Wow. Okay. All right.
Just once the trend got, there's a bounce to it, turn down, and then the next little bounce right up to it and down into the low, and then they just turned up through it here. Yeah, you start right about there, Dwayne.
Right
to the last
right here?
Push.
Here?
No, go to your right a little ways.
Here?
And just the last moment of move. Is that, that's a 1 minute there, right? It was after this finally got going on the break of like 14 at about started at about where are we at here with time frame a little bit after 11 o'clock on your chart. The last push had the best momentum, and that was there you go. They broke, and then there's a bounce. I'm not sure if your numbers look mine, but you got a pullback from where your hand is. After they drop down from where your hand, from where your cursor is there, yeah, okay. Then they from there they bounce right into it.
Yep.
They pull back again, drop down straight down.
Yep.
And then came up to it again.
Yep.
And pushed down. And came back up to it, stalled out a little bit, and then finally it's broken. Just tells you that that strong trend is no longer in force, but. When you get a real good runner going that's, you know, moves that run for 10 or 15 points that are fast, that is a good guide or a good piece of it anyhow.
Now, the question is people would want to know the answer to is when do you know to pull this tool out of your toolbox?
Say again, Wayne.
When do you know that it's time to pull this out? What was your tip off this morning that says, "Hey, I want to put this. I'm gonna look at this 9:18 on a 1 minute, and follow this thing down."
Yeah, just when the move has momentum, then I use that. I watch that for a guy. Now, so I was explain this. I was in a short and just kind of hanging in there, and then we started stair stepping down, and the last push on the downside was the one to watch for. Since we were getting close to the 11, 12 and a half target, I was watching that for dynamic resistance on that only had momentum behind it. If you're chopping sideways, it's not any good.
Mm-hmm.
But when the move has a slope to it or good momentum to it, because there's a couple nice little pullbacks there, and then they just come right up to the moving average and they roll over two times, just kind of gives you a little guide.
Gotcha.
That's on a micro term there, of course. Just to,
sure. And on this
can help you when the market's moving, not to jump out of the trade and grab profits so fast that you can let that ride for a while and then to your target. If it's as long as describing the price action. If it's not describing the price action, then it's not useful.
There was a lot of volume here. So that may have put in the bottom right there for now. There's the most of this entire move down. This 1 minute candle shows the most volume. Right there. In fact, it's the biggest 1 minute, highest volume 1 minute candle of the entire day, it looks like. Yep. Prior to that, the biggest one was about 15,000. So that speaks volumes right there. So, yeah, if you've been riding this thing down and you hit that, and you start coming back up here this time. So you may not have gotten out right at the bottom, but now this here, the way we came up here, we still haven't crossed back over. Got a little doji. It's rolling sideways. It may drop down to test, put in maybe a double bottom across here in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 30-minute candle, we tested the 11-11, 11-12 weekly zone, but we didn't break through it. On the 10K, we've got 10, 20, 30, 40, 40,000 contracts traded in this right in this area. Now we're just up above it. But yeah, I think we'll probably see some consolidation across here. Just kind of roll right for a little bit. And potentially make a move to the upside. If we're going to move to the upside at any point this afternoon, it's going to be a break of this trend line. It's what I would use. I won't be on the air. And I won't be able to talk about it in a live environment, but that's what everyone should watch, would be for a break of this trend line and then a trade that presents itself up to the 21-22 area. That's for the upside. And for the downside, well, all we have to work with right now is simply support the weekly trading zones as they are on the chart and as they were emailed out last night. We've already broken through the 21 period EMA on a 30-minute chart, so that's no longer acting as support. In fact, on a push back up, it will become most probably resistance. So I don't think we're going to break through. Well, we'll just have to wait and see how it plays out. If you're like Mike and you were short on that move down, Mike, then you really don't want to worry yourself about jumping into something new. We had a signal over here, Mike, to get short that move at 11:17.5.
17 area, yeah.
Yep.
That was our spot. Same time, same place.
Okay, so
that's Michael's indicator at the bottom there?
It is.
He gave the signal there?
Yes, sir.
Right there, yeah. Okay. Oh, nice.
And where his
where
this picked up the momentum, Mike, right here,
mm-hmm.
is right about where you picked it up on your end at the 11:14. And this signaled at about 11:15, and I think you said 11:14.5 was where you saw it, right?
Our entry was between we had 11:17.5 to 11:18, and they got to 17.75 on that up there, your first arrow.
Okay.
So right in our zone right there, and then they pulled back. We stayed with it, and then. Where we took profits was at 12.5.
Okay, and 12.5, you took profits there because that was one of your daily support levels.
Right. And it was also pre-open on Globex. Pre-open, that area was kind of heavily traded, just not too far before the open. It was a little congestion area before the rally up to 11:19. So that area was our first, and then we had 11:08 below that. I noticed that's, you know, one of your areas.
Yep. Which is unusual that, you know, it's rare that we get zones that close together, but sometimes that's just how it lays out. So, I mean, this is a really good support area, so we could, you know, we could move back and forth in this area for an extended period of time, maybe even into tomorrow, until something gets decided definitively. This is our highest weekly zone here, 21-22.
So. The VIX made a new low today for this move, made a lower low than last week. And it's almost like the cash in the future is going to paint a reversal bar. So watch that at the close. That be giving a heads up. Also, we had the narrowest range on Friday for the ES since I think it was 6:18, and it was on a Friday. And the following Monday, we had a gap up, and that marked the high before that dropped down to 11:06. So I just saw that as a and then the fact that we had that narrow range day and then a move up, market top, and then the way the market's acting today is kind of
all right,
identical to how it happened last time.
Interesting. So are you planning another trading camp this year, Mike?
End of October, I believe, Dwayne.
Okay.
Is my plan at the moment here.
All right, we'll keep us surprised of the dates and we'll get the word out.
Do you have the daily chart, Dwayne?
Right here.
It's 6:18 and then 6:21. On 6:18 was the narrowest range ahead of this one. And then the 21st was a gap up day. Alright, so we had that narrow range, and then see that gap up. There's a tail on your chart, but they traded up to that red bar, it looks like, and then closed down there.
Mm-hmm.
That was the last time we had this narrow range day of 7.5 points on Friday. That was a Friday, Monday there also. And it set up a high atop. And also there's a set of three narrow range days in a row, and that's similar to what we had this past week. It was a slow move up, but there was a nice down move in the process. But I don't know. There's some similarity
there. Yeah, coming
there
out of that,
that time frame.
It was.
It's also
quite a move. All right. Well, guys, I'm going to, unless somebody else has anything, I'm going to need to wrap it up for today. Mike, anything else you want to add? Michael Bork or Michael Reed?
Yeah, I think right here, I'll just give my quick opinion on what's going on right here. We've come back up to the basis in the 8:10 bounce line. We'll probably just go down here and chop around at the 11:12, 11:11 level here for a little while, maybe a little lunch period, maybe the rest of the day. That's what I see right here.
Yep, I tend to agree with that. The bearish move on the 10K chart, based on the DMT indicator, has lost its momentum. And so until it can get down here and reposition itself for some potential move, I would say that's exactly what happens as we pop right over into here. And then
go sideways.
And then if we broke this trend line here, that might be rather dramatic. If we simply consolidate sideways and break it this way, then it's really not, it's sort of a non-event.
Right.
So I'm going to leave this chart up, but folks can keep an eye on that.
Can I take a look at the 3 minute really quick? Oh, I know why mine doesn't look like yours. Because I'm looking at yesterday's data.
There's a number of reasons why yours doesn't look like mine. And I'll have to go over those and help you set it up. I'm talking about this one.
Okay. All right. That's fine. You can flip back to the other one.
Yeah, there's a slew of reasons why I had to tweak and tweak this thing to get it. But once I got it...
that's pretty impressive. I like it.
I was watching it this morning. As I was trying to get everything going here so we could actually get on the air and do the radio broadcast. And I spotted a problem, and I go, we're going to have to fix that. When this bar was printing here, this red dot printed. So in other words, the signal was over.
So it's got an offset over the wrong bar.
Yeah, but then I thought, wow, that's actually kind of cool. Maybe we don't want to fix that.
Yeah, that is kind of cool.
So.
That might even be by design.
Yeah.
I don't know. When I was looking at the code the other day, there was a lot of code for that one particular indicator, and there was a lot behind it, and a lot of errors. But they were all the same thing, basically. They were all the same problem.
The big red dot indicates the primary trend change, which you can't see where it changed. Green dot here on Friday afternoon signaled the primary trend change to up, and it got that right. And then the big red dot signaled the primary trend change to short. And then these are simply entry points after the primary trend change. And so we'll see if it's right over here again. But we know that we're in that 11, 11, 11, 12 zone. We know we got all these other dynamics. We know we got this trend line across here. So, I mean, there was enough heat in here that...
Something that I pretty much take into is not trading into the zones, not trading into the weekly zones.
I learned that lesson.
It seems like there's too much risk in that.
Well, there is, and for the longest time, I was putting out the zones, and I would still put on trades that were contrary to the zone because everything else was right. The trend line, the angle, whatever, it was all, man, that's my trade. But you're shorting right into a zone, or you're buying right into a zone. And so I finally had to say, okay, wait a minute. If you're going to spend your time, putting these levels together, you have to actually, employ them in the execution of individual trades.
Right.
Not just stand back at the end of the week and look, ooh, how pretty, I colored inside of the lines again. You got to actually make it a part of the trade. And that goes, but then that's going to knock out like half my trades. Oh, really?
Yeah, but how many of those are losing?
All of them? Okay. I can live with that. Sometimes I just don't get it the first go around. I have to, takes me a while.
Looking at everything, and I've actually started building something that just respects your levels. You have to put them in at the beginning of the week, and it won't trade into your levels. It won't allow trades into the levels. That's what I was thinking anyway.
That's a smart indicator.
And I've manually been employing that theory. But
Now, Mike had this as a daily level. We had it as a weekly zone. So if had being short this move, we would have certainly been looking to, in a live trade, take profit. And not that it can't go lower, but it just makes sense.
Yeah, I'll have to check when I get my computer back and I set the thing all up again. Apparently they don't install programs, they don't reinstall programs, but all that should be backed up. So I should be able to install all that. And yeah, I'm just not looking forward to dealing with that.
Some of those computer places are bizarre by design. The last computer I had that melted down, video card melted, and it just, anyway, I told the guy, I said, I need you to ghost my hard drive. And he's like, oh, we can't do that. I go, why not? He goes, well, we don't know what's on there. I go, you're welcome to look. I have nothing to hide.
Yeah, I know.
He goes,
well, you're not asking him to look at what's on there.
Yeah, he goes, yeah, no, we don't go there. Nope, we can't do that. We don't know what's on that drive. And I'm like, do I look like a bad guy? I mean, I'm just simply asking you. I'm saying, could you make a copy of this? I mean, just, he's like, nope, we don't do that. We don't know what you got on that drive. We're not going to be complicit or duplicitous or whatever the word is. And I'm like, dude, my computer crashed. I'm paying you $1,200 to build a computer. This is before I found a guy who would, you know, like build computers for a reasonable price. So I'm paying you all this money, and you're telling me, he goes, we don't do that. Like it was some big deal. And so, anyway. So then one of the techs slipped me his business card and said, call me later. And he took care of it for me. Yeah, just another weird tale from my life. All right, Michael. Well, listen, Mike Reed already...
Yep, I see he sent a message there.
Oh, you know, you sent me a message? By email or text?
In the chat.
I don't see it. But, you know, one of our listeners who is in law enforcement said, wow, he says it is a law enforcement thing why they wouldn't copy that hard drive. And, yep. Wow.
Yeah, I guess. The guys that are working on mine, I asked them to back it up before they delete, you know, before they reinstall the operating system, and all they said was that'll be an extra $30. I guess, you know, it depends who you're talking to, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. All right. Okay, guys, take care. Sorry, I came on late. I feel bad that I'm leaving early because the last few days this show's ran 4 hours. And I know it runs 4 hours because my recording software shuts off after 4 hours. It won't record a file larger than that. And that's why on Thursday I totally lost the file. Friday I managed to save it and get it uploaded. And today we've only ran an hour and 33 minutes. So, see, guys, it's give and take. We go 4 hours one day, go an hour and a half on a rare occasion. So, just dock my time card, and I'll see you all back here again tomorrow. Fair enough?
All right.
All right, buddy.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, I got your message, and I will send that over to you.
Great. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care.
All right, friends, thanks so much for tuning in. Again, my apologies for the late start and the early departure. It's a rarity, but, you know, sometimes life happens, and today's one of those days. So whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with his mercy and with his grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.